A Family Home. Powell shared her husband's interest in natural foods. While at business school, she had worked part-time at Odwalla, the juice company, where she helped develop the first marketing plan. After marrying Jobs, she felt that it was important to have a career, having learned from her childhood the need to be self-sufficient. So she started her own company, Terra Vera, that made ready-to-eat organic meals and delivered them to stores throughout Northern California. Instead of living in the isolated and rather spooky, unfurnished Woodside mansion, the couple moved into a charming and unpretentious house on a corner in a family-friendly neighborhood in Old Palo Alto. It was a privileged realm. Neighbors would eventually include the visionary venture capitalist John Doerr, Google's founder Larry Page, and Facebook's founder Mark Zuckerberg, along with Andy Hertzfeld and Joanna Hoffman. But the homes were not ostentatious, and there were no high hedges or long drives shielding them from view. Instead, houses were nestled on lots next to each other along flat, quiet streets flanked by wide sidewalks. "We wanted to live in a neighborhood where kids could walk to see friends," Jobs later said. The house was not the minimalist and modernist style Jobs would have designed if he had built a home from scratch, nor was it a large or distinctive mansion that would make people stop and take notice as they drove down his street in Palo Alto. It was built in the 1930s by a local designer named Carr Jones, who specialized in carefully crafted homes in the storybook style of English or French country cottages. The two-story house was made of red brick, with exposed wood beams and a shingle roof with curved lines. It evoked a rambling Cotswold cottage, or perhaps a home where a well-to-do hobbit might have lived. The one Californian touch was a mission-style courtyard framed by the wings of the house. The two-story vaulted-ceiling living room was informal, with a floor of tile and terracotta. At one end was a large triangular window leading up to the peak of the ceiling. It had stained glass when Jobs bought it, as if it were a chapel, but he replaced it with clear glass. The other renovation he and Powell made was to expand the kitchen to include a wood-burning pizza oven and room for a long wooden table that would become the family's primary gathering place. It was supposed to be a 4-month renovation, but it took 16 months because Jobs kept redoing the design. They also bought the small house behind them and raised it to make a backyard, which Powell turned into a beautiful natural garden filled with a profusion of seasonal flowers along with vegetables and herbs. Jobs became fascinated by the way Carr Jones relied on old material, including used bricks and wood from telephone poles, to provide a simple and sturdy structure. The beams in the kitchen had been used to make the molds for the concrete foundations of the Golden Gate Bridge, which was under construction when the house was built. "He was a careful craftsman who was self-taught," Jobs said as he pointed out each of the details. "He cared more about being inventive than about making money, and he never got rich. He never left California. His ideas came from reading books in the library and Architectural Digest." Jobs had never furnished his Woodside house beyond a few bare essentials, a chest of drawers and a mattress in his bedroom, a card table and some folding chairs in what would have been a dining room. He wanted around him only things that he could admire, and that made it hard simply to go out and buy a lot of furniture. Now that he was living in a normal neighborhood home with a wife and soon a child, he had to make some concessions to necessity. But it was hard. They got beds, dressers, and a music system for the living room, but items like sofas took longer. "We spoke about furniture, in theory, for 8 years," recalled Powell. "We spent a lot of time asking ourselves, what is the purpose of a sofa?" Buying appliances was also a philosophical task, not just an impulse purchase. A few years later, Jobs described to Wired the process that went into getting a new washing machine. It turns out that the Americans make washers and dryers all wrong. The Europeans make them much better, but they take twice as long to do clothes. It turns out that they wash them with about a quarter as much water, and your clothes end up with a lot less detergent on them. Most important, they don't trash your clothes. They use a lot less soap, a lot less water, but they come out much cleaner, much softer, and they last a lot longer. We spend some time in our family talking about what's the trade-off we want to make. We ended up talking a lot about design, but also about the values of our family. Did we care most about getting our wash done in an hour versus an hour and a half? Or did we care most about our clothes feeling really soft and lasting longer? Did we care about using a quarter of the water? We spent about 2 weeks talking about this every night at the dinner table. They ended up getting a Miele washer and dryer made in Germany. I got more thrill out of them than I have out of any piece of high-tech in years, Jobs said. The one piece of art that Jobs bought for the vaulted ceiling living room was an Ansel Adams print of the winter sunrise in the Sierra Nevada, taken from Lone Pine, California. Adams had made the huge mural print for his daughter, who later sold it. At one point, Jobs's housekeeper wiped it with a wet cloth, and Jobs tracked down a person who had worked with Adams to come to the house, strip it down a layer, and restore it. The house was so unassuming that Bill Gates was somewhat baffled when he visited with his wife. "Do all of you live here?" asked Gates, who was then in the process of building a 66,000-square-foot mansion near Seattle. Even when he had his second coming at Apple and was a world-famous billionaire, Jobs had no security guards or live-in servants, and he even kept the back door unlocked during the day. His only security problem came, sadly and strangely, from Burl Smith, the mop-headed cherubic Macintosh software engineer who had been Andy Hertzfeld's sidekick. After leaving Apple, Smith descended into schizophrenia. He lived in a house down the street from Hertzfeld, and as his disorder progressed, he began wandering the streets naked, at other times smashing the windows of cars and churches. He was put on strong medication, but it proved difficult to calibrate. At one point, when his demons returned, he began going over to the Jobs house in the evenings, throwing rocks through the windows, leaving rambling letters, and once tossing a firecracker into the house. He was arrested, but the case was dropped when he went for more treatment. Burl was so funny and naive, and then one April day he suddenly snapped, Jobs recalled. It was the weirdest, saddest thing. Jobs was sympathetic and often asked Hertzfeld what more he could do to help. At one point, Smith was thrown in jail and refused to identify himself. When Hertzfeld found out, 3 days later, he called Jobs and asked for assistance in getting him released. Jobs did help, but he surprised Hertzfeld with a question. "If something similar happened to me, would you take as good care of me as you do Burl?" Jobs kept his mansion in Woodside, about 10 miles up into the mountains from Palo Alto. He wanted to tear down the 14-bedroom 1925 Spanish Colonial Revival, and he had plans drawn up to replace it with an extremely simple, Japanese-inspired, modernist home, one-third the size. But for more than 20 years, he engaged in a slow-moving series of court battles with preservationists who wanted the crumbling original house to be saved. In 2011, he finally got permission to raise the house, but by then he had decided that he had no desire to build a second home. On occasion, Jobs would use the semi-abandoned Woodside home, especially its swimming pool, for family parties. When Bill Clinton was president, he and Hillary Clinton stayed in the 1950s ranch house on the property on their visits to their daughter, who was at Stanford. Since both the main house and ranch house were unfurnished, Powell would call furniture and art dealers when the Clintons were coming and pay them to furnish the houses temporarily. Once, shortly after the Monica Lewinsky flurry broke, Powell was making a final inspection of the furnishings and noticed that one of the paintings was missing. Worried, she asked the advance team and Secret Service what had happened. One of them pulled her aside and explained that it was a painting of a dress on a hanger, and given the issue of the blue dress in the Lewinsky matter, they had decided to hide it. During one of his late-night phone conversations with Jobs, Clinton asked how he should handle the Lewinsky issue. "I don't know if you did it, but if so, you've got to tell the country," Jobs told the president. There was silence on the other end of the line.